fine, I guess I can show myself. I had a reason before, but I don't really now. And so, yeah, it was probably about 2014 before anybody outside of my close friends knew that I was that guy.
That is Brian Fear, a Salesforce developer at Camping World, and that guy he is talking about is SFDC Fox, an alias he created years ago to be able to help developers on the internet. Now, several hundred thousand karma points later on Salesforce Stack Exchange, we sat down to talk about his origin story. I'm Joshua Burke, a developer evangelist at Salesforce, and here on the Salesforce Developer Podcast, you'll hear stories and insights from developers for developers. Now, Brian's always been a bit of a geek, and it sounds like maybe in his early years, he might have had a little bit of an issue with authority. This is him talking about his school years.
I've done a lot of stuff with BASIC. I had a class I was completely bored in, and I wrote a BASIC program to emulate the sound of a ringing phone from the 90s to confuse my teacher. That was fun.
Now, if you ask Brian why he spends so much time helping people, he will tell you it's just one of the things that he loves. It's the thing that he's always been doing. When his first real job after like McDonald's was in customer service. And that job led to a job in Salesforce. And Brian and I share a few things. And one of them is that when I started working with Salesforce, I didn't know what CRM stood for either.
So I had got a job at a call center. And I was activating satellite radios for Sirius XM. And after a few months there, Salesforce had just started a new support contract with this call center. We were going to have 13 agents. And one of the agents, or two of the agents, dropped out at the last minute. And so my managers recommended me because they saw I was good with computers. I mean, that was pretty much it. I'd never heard of Salesforce. I didn't know what a CRM was. I dabbled in databases, but apparently that was enough to get started.
So Brian gets his job with Salesforce. He's working in Premier Support. But the role of support and what he really wants to be able to do as a developer, they're really in conflict. Support is putting restrictions on what he can do. He's not supporting the API. He can't share code snippets. He can't work with other developers like a developer, only as a support person. And so he comes up with a rather creative solution.
So in 2007, I discovered the DeveloperForce forums. And so I created my moniker back then, and I was concerned about possible termination if they found out I was, you know, supporting outside the box. So I had this anonymous moniker, and it was the Salesforce Fox. And the customers would call in, and I'd say, yeah, I'll create your case for you. But in the meantime, you can go to developerforce.com. And ask your question there, and someone will help you out. And you can almost hear the air quotes around someone even back then, because I knew it was me. And so I did. I'd go on my break. I'd go on lunch. I'd after work answer their questions, and people were grateful for it.
They're grateful for it. Brian's grateful to be able to have this level of access to the developers, to interact with them as a developer. And, well, this person that nobody knows the identity of, they're spending a lot of time on the forums.
They didn't really have a scoring system, but when they finally implemented it, I had the most points in the entire network, or second most, something like that. My profile still shows that I'm an all-star, which is their top contributor tag, whatever they call it.
So yeah, 7 years later, Brian hasn't even been active on these forums, and SFDC Fox is still one of the top-rated answerer for questions on the forums. And that should give you a little bit of a preview as to where we're going with his life story. And he's kind of a superhero at this point. He's got a double life. He's got a secret identity. He's got his day job. But then at night, he's out fighting bugs. And he's trying to, you know, make sure that nobody figures out who that superhero is. And sure enough, there are people trying.
They sort of suspected that I might be doing support outside of boundaries. What they ended up doing was they blocked access to that website on the corporate network. And so I ended up writing a proxy and a visual force page to get around it so I could continue to answer questions. That was kind of funny.
Now, I kind of feel like I need to add an asterisk here. And if I could imagine a letter from our legal department, it would probably say something along the lines like, the Salesforce Developer Podcast does not advocate any behavior that might, you know, end in your termination. I want you all to keep your jobs. And it kind of turns out that Brian saw it that way too. He sees this as a conflict. He doesn't want to be in this position where he's, you know, going outside the bounds of his job. And so he leaves and he ends up getting another one. After some freelancing, Brian eventually ends up at Camping World, which offers plenty of work for a developer to chew on.
Oh, goodness. So we are working with 5,000 active users plus another 2,000 empty licenses that we're filling up. We have technically multiple orgs all crammed into one. We've got, as you may have heard, we acquired Gander Mountain, for example. So we've got Gander Mountain employees. We've got Camping World employees. We have Good Sam employees. Good Sam is their sister company. I mean, we have millions upon millions of records, and we have, I don't know, probably good 8 or 10 different integrations for our sales and marketing and all that other good stuff.
But now let's go back to the start of our origin story, where, remember, Brian loves a few things. One of them is developing on the Salesforce platform, and the other one is helping people. And just about this time is when he discovers the Salesforce Stack Exchange.
I found myself on the Salesforce Stack Exchange, and I thought, this is really cool. I think I'd like it here. And so I went in, I created a new account, and I just started doing it. It was great because I felt like I could get feedback. Oh, hey, look, I got 60 points. I must be doing something right. You know, it was nice to get that feedback in the comments. You would get an email notification. It had a lot of nice features.
To be more specific, the Salesforce Stack Exchange seems like a piece of software genetically engineered for a guy like Brian Fear, somebody who is willing to take time when he has available to him to help people on the internet and is trying to do really good, precise technical enablement. And so he's found this place that he can really finally go and be SFDC Fox. And the other nice thing is, well, he can tell his bosses.
Yeah. They were aware of it and they were impressed. I think I had just broken the 100,000 point milestone at that point.
Well, I want to frame Brian's modesty there in very specific ways. He is talking about breaking the 100,000 reputation point on the Salesforce Stack Exchange. He is now over 285,000. In fact, I believe 286,000 he has topped out. The vast majority of Stack Exchange users maybe get a few hundred. If you're very active, you might get a few thousand. One of the stacks that I was previously very engaged in, and not the Salesforce Stack, coincidentally, but I had about 10,000 reputation. And according to Stack Exchange, I'm still like one of the 3% top users of the stack. And I've affected a few hundred thousand people. At 285,000 reputation, Brian Fear is in the 0.05 percentile of responders on the Salesforce Stack Exchange. And his answers have impacted over 7 million people. It's a Herculean effort that he is able to kind of keep up this superhero lifestyle of helping people on the internet.
So I've always loved to help people, and I think I have my grandmother to thank for that. You know, she would give you money to help you out with something, or she would drive you somewhere, or she would do whatever she had to do to help other people.
I asked Brian for a few tips on what developers should know when they're going to Salesforce Stack Exchange, how they can be successful and how they can help Brian be successful when it comes to answering their questions. And there's little things like, for instance, always make sure that you are correctly tagging your posts, because Brian is an expert in a few very specific things on the Salesforce platform. And so if you want his eyeballs to get on it, tag your questions correctly. That way, when Brian is going through and he's doing his daily routine of trying to help people, he can find your question. I also asked him, what makes a good question versus a bad question?
So a good question will have a question in the subject header area. It won't be a statement like, help me please, or I only have 50% code coverage, please help. That's not a question. That is a statement or possibly a cry for help, but it's certainly not a question. The body of the question usually should have a problem statement, you know, what's wrong. It should have any relevant code. It should have any research that you've done. Like, I tried searching Google, or I wrote this piece of code, but it didn't work, or it's just something. It should basically have all the information that we would need to troubleshoot it. And also, the question has just the code that we need, not your entire, you know, 30,000 character Apex class. We don't have time or the resources to debug something like that. Usually a good question will be, up to 50 lines of code. Yes, that's the ideal situation. Bad questions, they have no code, they have no explanation, or they have something like, I have a business requirement to do XYZ. Well, that's great, but that doesn't help us. We want to know what you're trying to do. Yes, but that can't be the only thing in your question. Some code or some screenshots or anything that helps.
And then finally, I asked Brian, what are the questions that you get all the time?
The question about how do I bulkify my code is one that comes up all the time, and it's always the same answer. And I don't have a specific link to one question. It's just, it happens so many different times. It's like, we got all these different questions. But I also wish that people would read more about a lot of the optimizations. When do you use maps? When do you use sets? You know, how should you handle exceptions? That comes up over and over again.
And that's our show. Now, before we go, Brian did share one piece of Salesforce trivia history with me, which kind of shocked me, actually. I had no idea that the red square S-Force logo that some of us, you know, new in love back in the day. Well, that was Brian.
In my case, the red Salesforce logo was created in Blender. I literally created a cube, slapped an S on it, and, you know, repeated it on all six sides. You can't see the other three sides, but it was, that's what it was. And amazingly enough, I won that contest. So that was pretty cool.
And that's our show. Remember that you can go to Salesforce Stock Exchange yourself. And you can get your questions answered, or even better, see if you can provide some answers yourself. Now, if you could take a moment, go to podcast service of your choice, like and subscribe to us, that'd be great. You can catch more information at developer.salesforce.com/podcast. Thanks, everybody.